You are listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
Welcome everyone to 1 Million Cups of Appleton. Super great to be here today. 1 Million Cups of Appleton is a weekly gathering of community members, entrepreneurs, and others, I suppose. We meet weekly and we get to know a local entrepreneur or guest entrepreneur, find out why they started their business and how we can help. So today we have Chris with New Paradigm Contractors. Chris is a local Wisconsin company, I believe. You correct me if I'm wrong on that, Chris, but thanks for being here today and the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you. I'm just going to share my screen here.
Looks great.
All right. Can you guys see the presentation here?
Yep. Looks great.
Perfect. All right. Hey, the hardest part's done. Hey, so I just wanted to say thank you to the 1 Million Cups organization for allowing me to present today. It's great to have such a collaborative resource at our fingertips that we can share our vision and my business, which is New Paradigm Contracting. So we offer three main services: new home construction, habitat restoration, and consulting service. So as we progress through this presentation, I hope that I'll be able to illustrate the interconnectedness of these items and why these are the main services that we offer and focus on. So I am Christopher Rogers. I am the owner of New Paradigm, and I'm a Wisconsin native and Army veteran. Been in the environmental consulting and sustainability world for about the last decade or so. And in my free time, I was doing a lot of house flipping, buying projects, fixing up, usually living in them and then reselling them, and really enjoyed that process. And I get a lot of construction management on commercial projects under my belt. And so recently I went back to school. I had previously gotten my bachelor's degree, went back for my master's degree in a program called Sustainable Management, held right here through the University of Wisconsin. I went to the Oshkosh campus. And this really kind of spurred my idea for sustainable building. Basically, my thesis was around designing and modeling a sustainable home. It didn't take me long, though, to realize that there wasn't really a definition of what a sustainable home would be. So I built one. And this is really what we focus on in our builds. And the key component you kind of see in the bottom left there is this sustainable index. And so what we do is we look at the materials, the contractors, and the project location, and their set criteria within them, which then roll up into the larger building performance standard. These are the things that this is sort of our code of ethos, what we live by at our company, and we incorporate all of these into our homes. So this kind of gives you a little bit of a high level picture of these things, and I'm more than happy offline to go through some of these more in depth with anyone that's interested. So a lot of people may ask, why? Why is this a big deal? What are the pains in the industry? Well, it's really easy. I'll bring it right to your pocketbook right away. Right now, $100,000 lumber package for your build or a materials package is pretty reasonable, pretty normal. Take $30,000 of that package away and put it in the dumpster, literally. We have about a 30% waste. That's what's considered acceptable in the industry for new home construction. And that's just, it's terrible. It should not be, that should not be the acceptable item. Coupled with that on the macro level, annually, we got about 145 million tons of C&D, construction and demolition debris, going into landfills. Then bringing it back home a little bit more, the residential side is, it doesn't have a whole lot of oversight. And you may think that there's a lot of regulations surrounding residential construction, but quite honestly, there's not. And that's also coupled with a lack of transparency from the builders themselves. A lot of times, customers, they will get just a bill at the end to say what something costs without an explanation. So we aim to change these things. We're fully transparent. We strive for zero waste in our builds. One of the key painful items here that I see is we have what's called a uniform dwelling code, which is the standard to which we build homes at in the state of Wisconsin. The building code is the bare minimum. How often do you go through school or life and try to achieve just the bare minimum? It doesn't happen. And so we go above and beyond. And it's all calculated and it's all audited by a third party company, and we can prove this. So that's important stuff on the home side. Now, the habitat side, looking at these relationship items, it takes a fair amount of trees to build a house. And we're losing a fair amount of, forests every year, due to, development and stuff like that. And we've also had a huge loss of honeybees over the last 60, 70 years. All right. So now we get into some of the results and really can show you the relationship of these things. On the right here, we have a brand new kitchen that was just finished up. The key thing I want to hone in on here is that the kitchen cabinets in this build were built out of birch. Birch was chosen because it is a fairly inexpensive wood. It's a native local tree. It's pretty accessible, and the nice thing was is this build site had a perfect opportunity to plant birch trees to help offset the use of the birch for the lumber. And so on the left there, you see a brand new birch tree. We planted about 100 trees, 100 birch trees to help offset that use for this project. And they're doing great. And beyond that, we do a lot of management of invasive species, planting a bunch of native prairies and pollinators, and I did mention that we almost received zero waste on this last home that we built. We had about a 75% decrease in waste to receive zero waste criteria. You need about 90%, so we're almost there. Much better than what the competition's doing, and much better than the standards out there. And so I kind of mentioned earlier about third-party auditors coming in. So all of our homes, we do what's called a new home certification through Focus on Energy. And basically with that, we have to hire or partner with a third-party auditor to take a look at what we've done, what we've incorporated into the house. And then they assign a grade or a value of how well that house performs beyond the uniform dwelling code. And so this house here that is in reference It's actually my personal residence, performs 60% better than the state code. It, on average, a lot of the contractors in this program, they'll see 20 to 30% over code. And those are fairly easy things to attain. 60% is, it's pretty incredible. And we're really proud of that accomplishment. And so here's our finished product. The cool thing that I want to highlight on this is that the pond that you see in the foreground, that pond is actually responsible for our heating and cooling in this house. So we did a pond loop geothermal system. So I just wanted to kind of highlight that to show, you know, it's not an invasive type system. You know, you can't even tell it's there. And it's not that much more expensive than a traditional HVAC system. But I'm more than happy to show anyone the build, take you through a tour of the house, answer any questions. You know, by all means, feel free to contact me through any of the ways down there. My website is still under construction, so it's not operational yet, but I am available on any of the other mediums.
Awesome. Hey, super cool, Chris. Thanks for sharing your story with us and about your business today. We're going to open it up for some questions, if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Anyone have a question or a couple of questions for Chris today?
So, first of all, very good job. I like the passion that you have for it, and I can definitely see the environmental side of that. Now, I guess my question is, what is your target market with this? Is it just any homeowner? Is it somebody that's maybe more specific to being in part of the environment? I don't know if that question makes sense.
Yeah. So based on the market research I've done and the clients that I've talked to and worked with, I'm really kind of honing in on we'll call it the millennial population, in the, we'll say the middle, upper middle class, and beyond. You know, the nice thing is with a lot of these things now, customers and clients are starting to ask, these questions about, sustainable processes and initiatives, green building practices, and right now, a lot of the general contractors out there don't have those answers. You know, in time they will. But right now, you know, that market segment is really the ones that I'm catering to.
So do you think that the other competition is going to do it out of need more than anything else?
You know, it's so I've done a fair amount of research looking at like the Parade of Home data over the last 4 or 5 years, and there are some select builders that are trying to do more marketing towards some sustainable initiatives, but they're mainly ad hoc type implementations of, you know, oh hey, we used you know, some reclaim barn board for a backdrop in this one room, and therefore we consider it sustainable. You know, so you'll get a lot of that. My hope is that the industry does start moving towards this direction. You know, I'm not sitting out here with a super secret platform that I won't share. You know, this is a more important thing to me, and I'm more passionate about this than just a self-fulfilling type need. This is where I want to see the industry go in the future.
Thank you.
I'm curious, Chris, with all these initiatives to keep it more green and more friendly, how much of a cost increase do you see working through a traditional contractor?
Yes. Yeah, so that's a perfect question. Thank you for asking it, Eric. You know, so this build here, based on what the, because basically before I built this house, I actually gave my specifications, of this house to a couple of local contractors to bid on it and check it out. And my process was very comparable to their costs. It is basically neck and neck with what the current building costs are. At the time that we built this, this house was built prior to a lot of the lumber shortages. So the prices were locked in prior to a lot of that going up. We were right within $5 a square foot of what the competitors were looking at. And the nice thing is I've done some fairly extensive cost benefit analyses to show that the return on investment in this home versus a spec home with comparing it against very bare minimum type HVAC systems and insulation packages and windows. We actually had about, depending on how you look at the numbers, a 15 to 25% increase in add-ons to this package the competitors weren't doing. And so there's a definite value there. For instance, the geothermal system, it cost about $35,000 for that geothermal system, whereas the traditional gas forced air HVAC system was running about $18,000. Up front, it looks like, wow, that's about double. When you take into account it was going to be about $10,000 to run the gas line to this property. So you take that off the top, and then you also have the energy savings from the geothermal system itself over a natural gas or over a propane heating type system. And so when you add all that package together, you really start to see the benefits.
Very cool.
Any other questions for Chris today?
I can ask a really off-topic question that I'm just really curious about, and you should know the answer to.
Shocker.
What is the cause of the rising cost of lumber?
The easiest, quickest answer I can give you is it's that supply and demand curve. I've been keeping up with it a little bit, and surprisingly enough, the U.S. last year produced about 15% more lumber than it has in the previous 10 years. And so, our production is up, which one would then think that the supply would be there. But of course, on the other side of the coin is the demand was just so great that even though the supply was up, the demand surpassed that. The supply chain system is really stressed right now. And, the common answer that, we get as builders and we see is that, hey, COVID hit and we had the problem of everybody then went to work from home. So you were short on labor. As well as because everybody worked from home, then they wanted to finish house projects. And I think all of that is reasonable and logical. But we have to be able to see that on that macro level scale. And that's the tough concept at times to see, because, we don't necessarily look at, the average person doesn't necessarily look at the amount of building permits being taken out on, the U.S. scale. They may look at their local community and say, oh yeah, that subdivision's filling up. But they don't look at the big picture and say, well, holy cow, we've got a mass exodus of, you know, California and some of these other states, where they're going, because where they're going, they probably need houses too. And so it's a big shift in our environment right now.
Interesting. Another question, and you may have touched on this before, because I think I saw this, but I had to step away for a minute.
Sure.
Are you looking at possibly, like, do you just want to do these kind of constructions yourself? Because I could see a huge market in, once this kind of catches on, being a consultant to other construction companies to better obtain, like you said, you showed that score that the Focus on Energy gives you to help other construction companies get that Focus on Energy score up. Is that something you're looking at doing? Never considered it, or I'm just good building my own houses and let the other guys figure it out?
Yeah, no, I do fully intend on helping on a consulting basis for other companies and contractors. Again, my passion with sustainability, it's not a something that I just want for myself. This is where I want to see the industry go. And, you know, the proof is there. You know, this home, we actually, through, ResNet, we modeled it out at, 50% over code, actual came in at 60% over code. And, you know, this is stuff that, hey, my day job, I'm a geologist. And so if I'm a dumb geologist, I can figure this out. Other people can too. But right now, what we don't necessarily have in the industry is enough people demanding these things yet. And so it'll come in time, it'll come. And I definitely want to help these contractors, on a consulting basis, work through some of these things. And I've even thought about, maybe patenting this platform, and selling it as sort of a package like, LEED or something like that. Cause, you know, LEED is good on the commercial side. But it doesn't have a great platform on the residential side. And there really isn't a great platform other than, you know, locally, the new home certification is a great platform. But it's not a, like a nationally recognized type item.
You should, for people as dumb as me, explain what LEED is, because I have no idea.
Yeah, so LEED is the basically the United States version of a green building type criteria, and so they have a couple of different platforms like silver and platinum and stuff like that, to which they sort of gauge a sustainability factor for that building, and typically it's a fair, there's a fair amount of cost associated with that to get that, and you only see the commercial buildings doing it that really they're typically, you know, the insurance companies, the banks, the places that have a little bit more capital to play with. You don't see the average entity doing LEED certification. Gotcha.
I think like UW-Fox Valley, they're at least part of their campus must be LEED certified. And they have a big sign by the windows where you can see the grass growing on top of their roof or something.
Okay.
Supposed to be part of the criteria or something.
Yeah.
Usually, like you were saying, it's going to be a governmental type thing that has that. But I think that's a great process, Christopher, for that, because, you know, a lot of the general contractors in this area obviously do that, you know, but they do it for a reason, right? And you're right. I don't think they do it because it's a passion. It's because they have a client that wants that and stuff like that. So the other question I had for you is, what would a house, you know, I don't necessarily need, what would the house that you built here cost versus today? You know, because that was before the pandemic, or any example of that, just to give an example of the wood shortage and the other supplies too. What's the up, or maybe just a percentage of how much more it would be today versus even just a couple months ago?
Yeah. Yeah. So this house here at market rate about a year ago, this was about a $550,000 build. Today, that probably went up, I'm guessing, about $100,000. If I was to rebid it right now, it probably would go up about $100,000.
Wow.
That's painful.
Yes, absolutely. And
now, the other question I guess I have, let's say you bought it now, does that price go down then? I mean, because you're just spending that $100,000, you know, obviously those materials are real and stuff like that, but now that stuff goes down, does the value of the house go down with that?
Yeah. You know, that is the, I wish I had the magic eight ball. Cause that's really the $1 million question right now is, where is our market headed? You know, in looking at the building reports for, or the, industry reports for, contracting, you know, they kind of, allude to, yeah, we've got this, this peak right now. But what they're showing is the forecast is long stable growth in the home building industry, and if that does continue, I don't see these values going down. I also don't see the cost to build going down then either. Now, if the whole fear of inflation, you know, rears its ugly head, and suddenly the construction industry slams on the brakes, and then, you know, because the supply chain then takes a while to catch up, and then we have just a massive amount of lumber sitting in the stockyards, then these values are going to start to come down, and then homes like this maybe will lose a little bit of value. The thing I like to look at, you know, our recent history and look at the, basically the market and how it changed. And, you know, when you start to look at like, the recession, you know, 2008 to 2011 timeframe, yes, there were houses that really dropped in value bad. Those houses, though, that dropped in value, many of them dropped in value because they were foreclosures. And so, you know, you look at the new building industry at that time, and prices continued to rise even during the recession for these home builders. And so it didn't really come down a whole lot, you know, in that process, you know. 10-15% type thing, not a massive amount. And so I kind of look to that historical approach a little bit for the future here, because I think there's a lot of similarities with you know, the 2008 time frame to what we'll say is the COVID time frame.
Thank you.
Super fascinating. Any other questions for Chris today? Awesome. I think we can ask our final question. Chris, our final question for 1 Million Cups is always, what can the community do for you?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a great question. I love hearing it, you know, when you guys ask this. And I'd say what the community can do for me is really what the community can do for themselves. And that's start pressuring, you know, whether you use me to build a house or not, start pressuring whoever you do use. Start asking these questions of sustainable processes and what they're doing and why. And don't necessarily take their on-the-surface answer. Dig deeper, get some more of those, the fascinating details, of the what and why and how, to really get a good picture. Because, you know, buying or building a house is the largest investment that many of us ever make in our lives. I'm one personally that I want to know the full inner workings of that house, the who, what, where, why, when type thing. And I want that for my clients. We sell a value. We sell comfort. We sell security. We sell energy efficiency. We sell safety. And when you put your head down on the pillow at night, I want you to go to sleep having that comfort, knowing that the house I built for you, it isn't going to crash down around you. So I want that for everyone. And so it's not just for me. I want clients and consumers to start asking these questions of everyone, because that's really how we sort of create that paradigm shift in the industry, to really get us to the next generation of building.
Yeah, that's super cool. Awesome. Well, hey, Chris, it's been fun getting to know your business, and thanks again for sharing your story today. And thanks everyone for joining us. This has been another week of 1 Million Cups Appleton. And Eric, I think I remember last time you told me that we're stacked up till July, maybe?
Yeah, sometime. I think it's July 14th is our last scheduled.
Yeah, so we're going to keep this rolling, and we'll see you next week. Thanks so much, everyone, for coming.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker. And thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.